You're listening to the Anything Goes Show, number 276, where people have been sharing true personal experiences with ghosts since January of 2006. That makes this episode, number 276, the 15th anniversary episode. And there are some great stories coming your way in a couple of minutes, along with a simple piano piece I wrote for this episode called Winter's Night Dance Macabre. But before we venture into another world of ghosts, I want to tell you that at the end, in honor of this anniversary, I've decided to add the entire episode, I think it was only 10 minutes, of the first Anything Goes show. Now keep in mind, it's not for the faint of hearted, because I was just getting started podcasting and I'm pretty clumsy. So enjoy it for being a part of history, because Anything Goes was the very first podcast where people shared their personal ghost stories. And it all began on January 30th, 2006. So without further ear bendage, here's Anything Goes show number 276, the 15th anniversary episode. Happy New Year 2021, everyone. Actually, one more minor detail before we begin. I wanted to tell all the listeners about the 15-year archive that's available for a one-time membership fee. Check it out at anythingghost.com and go to the Become VIP section. And if you already paid for your membership fee, please check your email and spam for instructions on creating your username. It's a website-based archive with 15 years of Anything Ghost. Okay, I wanted to get that out of the way because I've left it out of the past couple of episodes. So let's move on to what you're here for. True experiences with ghosts. Bob, from the state of Maine, footsteps on the staircase. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, my family lived in a two-story home a short distance from the beach in the small town of Hull, Massachusetts. The town was located just south of Boston, a seven-mile-long peninsula that curled like a crooked finger into the icy waters of the North Atlantic. Like most of the homes nearby, our house was old, built sometime in the early 1900s. But it was solidly built to withstand the storms and nor'easters that would routinely lash our peninsula town during the frigid winter months. I was 17 at the time, and as my father had recently passed away after a long bout with cancer, my friends would routinely hang out in our large kitchen when inclement weather made venturing outside a task best avoided. At times like those, we would often gather around our large kitchen table, playing card games like Uno and poker, and drinking pot after pot of hot coffee. It became a routine for our gaggle of friends, and was something we'd end up doing often during the coldest part of the winter months. On one such evening, with the wind howling like a banshee from the beach and the temperature down below freezing, me, along with a group of my buddies and their girlfriends, were playing cards. We spent the time laughing, telling bad jokes, and basically enjoying our company. The basement oil furnace had been set to high, and the kitchen was especially warm and inviting as the wind continued to rise in volume and shake the glass in the old single-pane windows. The weather made us all grateful to be inside on such a storm-tossed night. As the night bore on, no one seemed in a hurry to leave and face whatever chilly walk home might await them. We played hand after hand of cards until fairly late at night. During a lull in the game, we talked about whether we should brew up another pot of coffee or call it a night, as most of us had jobs or school to face in the morning. It was at that point when we all heard the sound of my front door open and close. The kitchen was located at the end of a short hallway leading to the front door, so I was able to lean back in my chair to see who it was. I fully expected to see my mom, as she was due home at the time. Yet I saw no one there. While I was puzzling over the fact that the door had clearly opened and closed, yet no one was in sight, I called out to see who might have come in. I received only silence in reply. A moment later, we heard the unmistakable sound of someone walking slowly and purposefully up the stairs. Our only bathroom was located on the right at the top of the stairs, and because my friends and I drank a lot of coffee, everyone there knew exactly what footsteps on those stairs sounded like. We all listened as the footsteps mounted the final few stairs and then proceeded down the upstairs hallway immediately overhead. As the footsteps echoed down from upstairs, everyone seated around the kitchen table was realizing the following. Someone had entered the house. Someone who failed to respond to my call. And someone who definitely should not be there. Without any words being said, we all sprang up from the table and then grabbed whatever makeshift weapons were closest at hand. I grabbed a steak knife from the counter, while someone else grabbed a heavy glass ashtray, and one of the girls even grabbed a nearby broom. Putting a finger to my lips, I bade the others to follow and tiptoed silently down the hallway toward the staircase. The upstairs area consisted of two bedrooms off to the left, a bathroom to the immediate right, and the master bedroom, the last room on the right. Fully expecting to come face to face with an intruder, we whispered a plan to creep upstairs, position ourselves next to each room's doorway, and on my signal, burst into each of the rooms. One by one, we crept silently upstairs, approached the darkened hallway, and positioned ourselves just outside of each door. Steeling ourselves for the confrontation, we brandished our weapons, and as one, burst through the doors in our respective rooms. Light switches were fumbled for, doors banged forcefully into walls, and each of us entered our rooms with as much bravado as we could muster. Closet doors were yanked open, chairs were tossed aside, and each of us yelled out to the other as to whether anyone had caught anyone lurking behind a shower curtain or hiding beneath a bed. Yet there was no one there. We each double-checked each of the rooms, and even checked to see if any windows had been left open, but they were all securely shut and locked in preparation for the winter storm. After ensuring there was absolutely no place we hadn't checked, and nowhere might yet conceal some deranged intruder, we filed back downstairs and reconvened around the kitchen table. Hypotheses were discussed to try to explain those footsteps, yet all were soon discarded. All of us heard the same sounds, and all of us knew exactly what the footsteps on the staircase sounded like, as we had all experienced the sound dozens of times before, when friends had left the table to use the upstairs bathroom. After some expected banter about ghosts and the discussion of all the many shipwrecks that had occurred off the town's coast over the centuries, my friends said their goodbyes and made their respective exits. No one really knew what had made those footsteps on the stairs, but we all agreed that was exactly what we heard. Perhaps it was some spirit from the cold, someone or something seeking a little warmth and comfort on that dark and stormy night. Maybe it was my dad, just recently departed, and he came to see that the house was still safe and secure. I just don't know. I do know that I slept with that kitchen knife next to me that night and for many, many nights thereafter. And And we're going to follow up that story with one from Pamela in Pennsylvania. Ghosts in Gettysburg. In 2019, my boyfriend and I were on vacation in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which, as you probably know, is famous for two things: the Civil War and ghosts. While I love history, going to one of America's most haunted places was my hidden reason for wanting to go on vacation there. My boyfriend and I took about 5 ghost tours in 4 days when we were there. On our last night, we took a ghost tour that started near a woodsy area between a hotel and a residential neighborhood in which 4 Confederate soldiers were shot for treason. The story was that the Union soldiers were on top of a nearby hill when the Confederate soldiers rushed to attack them. It didn't go well for the Confederates, so they rushed back down into the trees. But there they found 4 soldiers who had already been hanging back in order to avoid the battle. Their punishment was death. What was unusual about the event was that the attack happened at night, which wasn't too common because of the obvious problems of lanterns giving away soldiers' positions. My boyfriend, a skeptic, and I went back to this area after the tour was over to see if we could hear or see anything. It was probably about midnight. We both had the recording apps on our phones on, and my boyfriend was talking the whole time as we explored. He was basically trying to get a reaction out of the ghosts, taunting them and calling them cowards, while I laughed nervously. Neither of us saw or heard anything, much to my disappointment. When we got back to the car, we decided to listen to the recordings from our phones. Mine wasn't great quality, but his was. He played the audio from his phone through our speakers in the car. We could hear night sounds, crickets, my boyfriend teasing the ghosts and me laughing nervously. All of a sudden, we heard, clear as day, 4 shh-ing sounds. We both froze and looked at each other. He swore he hadn't made those noises, and I didn't either. Was it the wind, the leaves? Or was it the 4 Confederate soldiers telling us to shush, so our talking and laughing wouldn't give away the fact that they were staying behind because they were too afraid to join their fellow soldiers in the battle? Here's a story from Tristan in Texas, Possessed Necklace. I have a necklace that I was gifted from my grandfather a year before he died. For a few months now, strange things have been happening revolving around the necklace. The first time I noticed something was when I had taken it off. My fan was louder than usual, and my closet was extremely cold for September in the South. I thought nothing of it at first, and I tried to go to sleep. But the fan got louder and louder, until I heard a loud thud right above my head on the ceiling. I bolted across the room because I was worried the ceiling would cave in on me. I stayed awake the rest of the night, unable to fall asleep. This always continued when the necklace was off. The horrible noises of my fan and things would go missing. But that wasn't nearly as bad as the next incident. The next time something major happened was when I had taken the necklace off for a dance and forgot to put it back on. I was FaceTiming one of my friends when I heard something fall on the floor behind me. I ignored it and continued talking to my friend until we said our goodbyes. I turned around, and right behind me on the floor was the necklace. It had slid from the top of my vanity to the floor behind my chair. Me, being a dummy, put it back on the vanity. The distance between the vanity and the floor was about 6 feet. Why would a necklace slide 6 feet off a flat surface? Later that night, the noise came back. It was louder than ever. No matter how many pillows I put over my ears, It would not drown out that sound. I said loudly, "Fine." The noise halted for a second. I walked across the room and put on the necklace. As soon as I did, the noise stopped. I haven't taken the necklace off since, and nothing else has happened. The fan is normal now. My stuff hasn't gone missing, and stuff isn't flying across my room. I've considered using a Ouija board, but I'm worried about the answers I'll get. It's January, and winter's cold nights are upon us. I find no better way to cozy up during these cold winter's nights than to get lost in great TV shows on Acorn TV. It's like getting warm and comfortable in your TV room, but traveling to another land by watching some brilliant TV shows from across the Atlantic on Acorn TV. Shows that have exciting and beautiful landscapes like Irish castles, Scottish lochs, London theaters, or centuries-old seaside villages. If this sounds interesting to you, then be like me and join Acorn TV. In no time, you'll find yourself binging on British TV shows that will leave you entertained, but also thinking and drawing you in with their visually striking landscapes. Acorn TV is a streaming service rooted in British television and has a huge catalog of award-winning series, miniseries, dramas, comedies, and much more. You'll find yourself engulfed in the Acorn TV original Mystery Road, hailed as a visual knockout by the New York Times. I have Acorn TV set up with Roku. I also have it on my desktop computer and iPhone. I recently discovered a cool series about Irish castles called Tales of Irish Castles. The series takes you way back in time as you walk through various castles in Ireland. Plus, they talk about some of the ghosts that inhabit some of these beautiful structures. At $5.99 a month, you'll get thousands of hours of new, refreshing content on Acorn TV. That's a fraction of what most streaming services charge. Escape to Britain and beyond without leaving your seat. Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and using my promo code AnythingGhost. That's acorn.tv with the code AnythingGhost to get your first 30 days free. Acorn.tv with the code AnythingGhost.
Hey Lex, this is Sophie from Texas. I want to share a story with you. I'll probably get in touch to share more, but here's how it starts. I grew up in a small town southeast of Houston, and this town is very swamp-like, lots of really huge, beautiful oak trees. Because it's so swampy, it's very humid, and the overall vibe of the place is just naturally dark. I was actually in Brazoria County. You may have heard of the book Ghosts Along the Brazos. That book was written a number of years ago about all of the ghost stories that at the time were known around Brazoria County. It's a really famous book in this part of the world, at any rate. So I'm actually thinking of creating a new book that's about modern stories of ghosts along the Brazos because of the experiences I had growing up in the town where I lived. So this is just one example. In my mid-20s, I was dating a man who later became my husband. And the thing is, we both lived with our parents and we didn't have anywhere to be alone. I had a friend who had a house in a neighboring town and she wasn't using it. Now, there was no electricity and no water, but she said, you know, if we just wanted to use it as a place to kind of hang out together, we could do that. She gave me a key. So one night, he and I went to the house. It was already kind of spooky because it didn't have electricity and water. It was nighttime. It was pretty hot because it was summer. So we had to open the windows so we wouldn't die of heat. We hung out for a while. We talked. We cuddled. We snuggled. And about the time we were ready to go home, we were kind of gathering our stuff together, and all of a sudden, the pressure in the house changed. Now, this is something I learned later is often associated with ghosts, at least in our part of the world. So I stopped because it was weird. It made my ears pop. It was so heavy. And then I heard this sound like kids playing under the house. The house was on stilts, so it wasn't impossible that there were kids under there, but it was also like 2 o'clock in the morning. So my boyfriend and I look at each other and I said, did you hear that? He said, yeah, it sounds like little girls playing under the house. I was like, yeah, that's weird. Let's listen. So we listened. Then there was this sound that it's like it came out of the walls of an old woman laughing. All of the hair on my body stood on end and I got chills. It got cold. And then there was a loud bang against the bathroom door that was going from the bedroom into the bathroom. Of course, we thought there was somebody actually in the bathroom. So my boyfriend stands up, he grabs the nearest thing, which was a large ceramic platter, and he stands outside the door. We're thinking someone's about to come through. But instead of anyone coming through the door, we hear the bang again, this time on the bathtub, and then on the door on the other side that went into the other bedroom, and then on the cabinet, and then on our door, bathtub, other door, cabinet, our door. It was loud, and we were really scared because we really thought there was someone in there making noise, trying to scare us. So when the noise stopped, he stood there with his platter. We held our breath. There was no more sound. We had the door to the bedroom slightly ajar, and we had a bunch of candles lit in the living room. There was this wall of mirrors across the living room that, you know, it showed everything on the opposite side. All we could see in the mirror, of course, was like faint candlelight. We heard the sound of someone walking, shuffling their feet on the carpet. So I know we were both thinking, this is it. We're going to see who's in the house with us. A shadow crossed over the mirror like it was going in front of the flame. And then there was nothing. There was no person. So we jumped up. We ran out of the house. We locked the door. We ran to the car, got in. But neither of us could breathe between the adrenaline and the pressure that had changed and never lifted. We just couldn't breathe. So we sat there waiting for it to get better. And when it didn't, I was like, we just got to go. We got to go. We got to get out of here. So we started driving. And I will tell you that the pressure that dropped while we were in the house didn't lift until we were about 10 minutes away from the house. And gradually the pressure lifted. We could breathe again. That was a really scary experience, Lex. And we never got confirmation about exactly what happened that night, but I can give you this little bit of backstory that makes it even scarier. Several years earlier, a 13-year-old girl who lived in the house, who I knew very well, she was like my little sister, committed suicide or was murdered in the room on the other side of the bathroom. We went back the next day to look around and see if we could find any signs of what happened the night before. We went and looked in the bathroom, and all that was there was a baby walker. Thanks for listening to my story. I really love the show, and I have a great time listening to it. It's my favorite thing to listen to in the car, so I'm glad I got to share something. I'm sure you'll hear from me again. Thanks a lot, Lex, and take care.
And here's a story from Jesse in Canada. George and other ghosts in my room. I love listening to Anything Ghost. My sister told me about it, and I've been enjoying going back through and listening to all the previous episodes. Of course, my sister told me about it because while we both had our fair share of ghostly encounters, mine are abundant. After listening to a few episodes, I realized that I'm not the only one that experiences the paranormal in the way that I do. Most of the time, I don't see anything except perhaps a shadow or something move out of the corner of my eye, but when I turn, there's nothing there. However, I get images in my head of what is there. It's like if someone were to say, think of a green apple, and then I can see a green apple in my mind's eye. But nothing physically was there. It's the same thing with hearing things. I hear it in my head. Other people in my family actually see things. I pick up on smells, or if something touches me, I can feel it. But more than anything, I sense or feel that there is something around. When I was in college, I had the weirdest of experiences. from the time I was 19 to 21. I had the most insane encounters, and I will share some of these with you now. During my second year in college, I lived in a single dorm at my small college in Minnesota. It was the tiniest room, and my bed was lofted so that you could make the most of the space. I always locked the door, but since the lights in the hallway were always on, the door always illuminated and cast just enough light into my room that I could clearly see the entire room with the lights off. But it was still dark in the room. One night, I heard what I later learned would precede nearly all of my intense ghostly encounters. I heard papers rustling. It always sounds like someone is going through papers on a desk. I'd just fallen asleep, and the sound of papers rustling woke me up. I slowly and quietly turned to look at my door, fearful that I had left it unlocked and someone had entered. I could see the thick lock engaged, and I did a quick look around the room. Nobody was there. I figured it had to have been a dream, and I turned back around. Just as I got comfortable, I felt someone sit on the foot of my bed and then lay down on the bed right next to me. I froze, shutting my eyes. I could feel a slight but very cold caress on my arm. I whimpered and it stopped. I opened my eyes and could see a ghostly white arm on my arm. I don't know if I fell asleep or passed out from sheer terror, but the next thing I remember was waking up to a bright sunlight streaming into my room. I jumped from bed, got dressed, and left the room. I happened to run into my priest during the day and told him what had happened. We arranged a time for later that day to come by, and he would bless the room. I met him there, and that was the first time I had entered the room since I had run out that morning. The room was cold, and it was a bright, warm spring day, and should not have been as cold as it was in that room. The priest blessed the room, remarking on the drastic temperature change from the hallway to my room. When I returned to my room after walking the priest out, it was still freezing, and I was uneasy. I talked with a friend of mine down the hall, and she came over. She immediately stopped as she walked in the door. "Whatever it is still here," she said. "How cool! You have the haunted room. Have you asked it what it wants?" I looked at her, gobsmacked. "What? I don't want to hear anything," I said. Whatever it was, sat at my feet all night. I was uneasy, but not so terrified that I couldn't sleep. My friend took me to a bookstore the next day that she was confident the owner might be able to help figure out why I was being haunted. A tall, thin man, who looked a bit like Lurch from the Addams Family, but with a very nice smile, talked with us. He concurred that I should ask the entity what it wanted, and suggested using wine glasses filled with water in a complicated system. As a poor college student, I drank my wine in reusable tumblers. I had no wine glasses. We settled on a Ouija board. My friend had one from when she was 12. We asked the entity and found out the entity was George, and he was there for protection. I decided that would be fine. I wasn't afraid. George followed me around for about 6 months, including coming back home with me to Texas over the summer. He kept me out of trouble, often by pulling on my ponytail or nudging me out of harm's way. I never saw George. When my mother picked me up from the airport, she remarked that I had a friend who was tagging along, and I told her that it was just George. Mostly I didn't notice him. Then in the fall, back at school, I heard the rustling again. My roommate was on a trip, and my bed again was lofted. The room was always dark. I felt something jump up on the bed but it was not George. It felt like my whole bed began shaking with hands pounding on the edges, like people pretending to do a drum roll. I jumped from the bed to the door and was down the hall in about 2 seconds. I called up a different friend, and she came over, armed with sage, salt, and candles. We saged the room, lit the candles, drew salt circles, and sat in them. She asked who was there, and then she gasped. In my mind, I saw a bunch of children. I looked at her and asked her what she saw. She replied, "There's so many of them, all different ages, but all kids." There had been a bus accident. They needed help crossing over. I asked why they had come to me, and they said that they could see me. I could not hear them in my head, but my friend could hear them, as if they were talking like normal. I would ask a question. They would respond, and she would follow up. I looked over at her. "You can hear them too?" She emphatically said yes. Finally, I realized that I could open a door, and I looked over, and it was a white-lit doorway right in the middle of the room. I could not see the doorway. The light was too bright. It was like a movie, just a bright doorway. I told them to go ahead, and slowly they all went through. The tiniest little girl was scared, but she eventually went through too. Then suddenly, my friend got terrified. There was something else in the shadow. I asked who he was, and he stepped out of the shadows. He was dressed in a white shirt with nice gray slacks and suspenders. I knew it was George. I asked him if he would like to go. He nodded, but hesitated. My friend said he needed my permission. I asked why, and she told me because he made a deal with me. I told him to go. He had my permission, and he walked through the doorway. And the doorway closed. We saged the room and talked through what we had just seen. Ghost visitations continued, but I was okay with it as long as they didn't wake me up in the middle of the night or scare me. But years later, when my husband moved into our first apartment together, I decided I didn't want to deal with that as a newlywed, and I just told them I wasn't doing it anymore. The spirituality closed up shop. So we made it through 2020, but the change from 1 year to the next doesn't mean all your troubles will disappear, and for some there are scars that need to heal. If you have something that you don't think you can do alone, it's important to know you have someone you can lean on or talk to. So it's great to know that the online counseling of BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P, BetterHelp, is there with licensed professional therapists to help you get through difficult times. At BetterHelp, you'll be matched with your own licensed professional, someone who will help you develop strategies for coping with grieving and stress, relationships, anger, family conflicts, sleeping, anything that is affecting the happiness and well-being of your life. And you will address these matters without ever having to leave the comfort of your own home, and knowing that anything you share is completely confidential between you and your licensed professional. If money problems are an issue, it's good to know that BetterHelp is more affordable than your brick-and-mortar offline counseling. Plus, BetterHelp has financial aid available. BetterHelp is professional, it's convenient, it's affordable, it's confidential. And all of you Anything Ghost listeners from other countries, listen up. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. So it's no surprise that, because so many people are now using BetterHelp, they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. If you need some help because you don't think you can do it alone, then get some help, some better help, and start living that happier life you deserve. As an Anything Ghost listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting www.betterhelp.com/anythingghost. That's 10% off your first month by visiting www.betterhelp.com/anythingghost. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/anythingghost. And here's a story from Allison in Ohio. Country Ghost. I went to a high school in a small town in Kentucky, so fun things to do consisted mostly of driving around, going to Waffle Houses, and if you were desperate, walking around Walmart. My friend Abby lived about 30 minutes outside of Georgeville in Sadieville, an even smaller town. Her house was off a long dirt road, and there wasn't another house in sight. On one particular Friday night, around 10 p.m., we decided to go for a drive around and listen to music, heading to town with the intention of going to the Waffle House. About 15 minutes outside of Sadieville, there were no streetlights, no sidewalks, few houses, and definitely no one walking around, just trees and farmland. We had our music blasting and were singing, laughing, and just being oblivious teenagers. When we came upon what looked like someone walking on our left side, we saw the back of them. We were driving pretty fast, and both commented on how weird it was to see someone walking and the fact that we couldn't get a good look at them. But it didn't feel like a big deal. A few hours into town, around 1 a.m., we headed back to her house. Again, we were blasting music, chatting, and laughing, when our lights hit someone on our right side. It was the same figure we saw on our way out, in the exact same spot. And this time, we saw her from the front. She was a woman in a long dress. And when I focused on her, her features kind of faded. It was obviously a spirit. She was all different hues of gray, and though the outlines of her body and features were there, they were fuzzy. We slowed down because it was alarming to see someone walking in general, but quickly sped up when we realized what was happening. Her feet were moving, but she wasn't moving forward. It was clearly static energy, just stuck there walking in the same spot. Though it was an alarming experience, it was the least scary ghost experience I've had in my life, and honestly was just a little sad. A woman stuck in time. It was amazing to have an experience like that with my friend, another human to verify that this happened throughout the years. My friend recently passed away, too soon, and I'm sad we'll never talk about it again. But seeing that country ghost gave me a new insight into ghosts that made me feel less scared. And that's a lifelong gift I'll be thankful for forever. This is a short and simple piano piece I wrote for this episode, the 15th anniversary. I called it A Winter's Night Danse Macabre. And I'll give you a little background of what I was thinking when I was writing it. You're walking alone in a moonlit, snow-filled woods, and you're crunching through the snow. Your vision picks up something in a clearing. But after rubbing your eyes, thinking it was the fog, you can clearly see ghosts. They're dancing with one another among the trees and the snow. Frightened, you duck behind a tree and catch your breath. But as you peek out and watch, your nerves settle, and you become almost hypnotized. They're dancing to music, but the only sound you hear is the wind through the trees and over the snow. As the ghosts continue their dance with beauty and grace, the scene fades into nothing. You're alone, staring at moonlit snow shadows, after seeing A Winter's Night Danse Macabre. Thank you. The Ghosts of Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, in London. London's best known and oldest theatre is called Theatre Royal, Drury Lane. It opened on May 7th, 1663, with a play by Beaumont and Fletcher, and is still showing plays today. The original structure of the theatre was made of wood, and as such has been rebuilt several times over the centuries, after fires, etc. The theatre is located in Covent Garden, London, England. It faces Catherine Street and backs onto Drury Lane. Theatre Royal is said to be one of the most haunted theatres in the world, and is said to contain countless entities. The most famous and most reported ghost of Britain's theatres is known as the Grey Man of Drury Lane. He has been seen in the Theatre Royal in London as far back as 1851, and many say he has the most awesome appearance of any ghost. Here were a couple of interesting sightings of the Grey Man. During World War II in the 1940s, a German bomb hit the Theatre Royal as the Grey Man was walking across the room. The incident had no effect on him, and he continued on his way, undisturbed by the destruction. In 1939, as the cast of The Dancing Years was on stage for a photo call, the cast, and about 150 people in total, saw the Grey Man cross the upper circle seating area and then disappear through a wall. There are a few theories about who the Grey Man was while he was living. Many suggest he was the ghost of a man whose skeletal remains were discovered within a bricked-up side passage when the theater was being refurbished in 1848. The remains in the wall were dressed in shredded gray riding gear and had been stabbed with a dagger through the ribs. One account said there were playing cards present as well. The dagger was found in the body and was believed to be from the Cromwellian era, which was around the mid-1600s. Those who have seen the Grey Man describe him as wearing a dark three-cornered tricorn hat over a long powdered wig. He's also draped in a long riding coat and has a sword and riding boots. Some have said that they were able to catch a glimpse of his facial features, saying he had a strange, well-formed face and a clear-cut nose. In the late 50s, it was noted that the Grey Man only makes appearances during the day, showing up between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. This was during the matinee shows. He was seen before the openings of Oklahoma, Carousel, South Pacific, and The King and I, all American hits which played Drury Lane since the end of World War II. Other ghosts who wander the theater are ghosts of actor Charles Macklin and a clown named Joseph Grimaldi. We'll take a look at Charles Macklin. In 1735, Charles Macklin accidentally, or so they say, killed fellow actor Thomas Hallam. It was in a fight over a wig. He did this by thrusting his cane through Hallam's eye. How the court decided it was accidental is beyond me. Witnesses to the event said they overheard Macklin yell, "May you be damned for a blackguard scrub rascal," as he plunged his cane into the fellow actor's left eye, killing him. From what I read, he was convicted of accidental manslaughter, and the punishment was being branded with a cold iron. Macklin lived a long life and died on July 11, 1797, which would have made him 107. But on his memorial, there's a brass plaque, and at the top of that brass plaque is an actor's mask. That actor's mask has a dagger going through the left eye. Ouch. Maybe that's why his spirit continues to walk the theater. Macklin's ghost is said to appear backstage and also wanders the area where he killed Hallam. Those who have seen his ghost describe him as a tall, thin, an ugly ghost. As I said in the beginning, there are countless ghosts believed to be haunting the Theatre Royal, such as the once famous clown, Joseph Grimaldi. And Joseph Grimaldi's comedy was so popular in its time that years later after his death, inspired by one of his acts, Lewis Carroll used Grimaldi's oyster comedic bit in his poem, The Walrus and the Carpenter. Grimaldi's ghost is believed to be a helpful ghost, especially with the lady actors. That's all I have on the Haunted Theatre Royal in London. But if you ever get a chance, go to a show there, but make it a matinee show, and keep your eyes on the upper circle seating areas. You just may see the gray man walk through a wall. And as promised, I'm going to end this show with Anything Ghost episode number 1. And as I said, it came out in January of 2006. And as I said before also, this episode and every single episode is available to VIP group members. Check it out at anythingghost.com. And with the original Anything Ghost theme, here's Anything Ghost episode number 1, from beginning to end.
Hello and welcome to Anything Ghost. My name is Lex. I'm from California. And I started this podcast because, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of them I really enjoy. One in particular is called hauntednewjersey.com. You might want to check them out. Really good stuff. More scientific than a lot of the other ones. And I just wanted a website, a podcast that you can have your stories read and appreciated, because I know a lot of us have had experiences and things like this, and we're unable to share them with others. You know, they mean more to us than the listener. So, and I'm going to be a good listener, and I'm going to have whoever wants email me any kind of, well, paranormal story is what I'm referring to here. Ghost experiences, out of body experiences, things like that. And I'll read them over the air. As for myself, I've had a few experiences. One was up in Carmel, California. We were staying at an old hotel. I don't want to give out the name, but it was an older wood floor, squeaky door hotel. And when we got there, the owner yelled from across the parking lot, "Oh, hello, hello, welcome. I left the heater on. If the place is a little warm, I apologize. Just go ahead and turn it off and everything will be fine." And I thought that a little odd, because it was about like 73 or so. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, why should you put on the heater, you know? Got up there and found the heater was not turned on. So we went up there, and that night I was up watching TV. I shut off the TV, turned off the light, and within a couple minutes, the bathroom door went like a good long move, shut or opened about a foot, and flipped me out. I was like, "Whoa, that was great!" And then also that night, we had the heater on. It was a little chilly at night, and I got up, turned off the heater, went back to bed, and then I remember my wife getting up in the middle of the night and turning it off again. I was like, "What is that about?" And then we woke up in the morning, and my wife goes, "Did you turn on the heater? Because it's hot in here." And no. And I looked at the heater, and it was turned on again. So there was something going on with the heater in that hotel room. And another thing about the place was, we have two dogs, and one of our dogs outside, refused to go down one of this ramp. He'd put his tail between his legs and put his ears back. So we always had to walk around the corner and go down some stairs. So it was a really neat experience, and I've always been interested in the paranormal, and that was one time that really set me off, and I started doing searches on the internet for podcasts and things, and that's how I decided to do this, because I've been giving out that story, you know, to different places, and nobody seems too interested, and so nobody else really hears about it. So if you got stories like that, email them to me. I set up an email address. It's anythinggoes@yahoo.com. That's anythingghost@yahoo.com. And email it to me and I'll read it. I don't know how often I'll be doing this. I might not get any responses at all. And if I don't, then, c'est la vie. I'll probably, read some poetry or something. And I don't know. But anyway, like I said, this is my first podcast, so it's a little clumsy. And hopefully things will improve as we go along. And so I guess this will be a pretty short podcast, the initial one, just as an introduction. And so again, send us your stories, or send me, it's just me, send me your stories, and the address is anythingghost@yahoo.com, and then see if we can get the rest of the world to hear what you got to say. And I started out the podcast with a little piece I wrote. Actually, I wrote it for hauntednewjersey.com, but I guess it's a little pigeonholing. You know, it sounds pretty ghost-like, you know, like a movie soundtrack. So they weren't too interested, but I'll just use it on this soundtrack, and that's about it. So talk to you soon. So that was the very first episode of Anything Ghost back in January of 2006. I hope you enjoyed the 15th anniversary of Anything Ghost. And I'm setting up another 15 years of Anything Ghost, starting with episode number 277. That'll be out next month. If you had a personal experience with Ghost, you have a couple of choices, actually maybe three choices. The first being you can write it up and send that email to lex@anythingghost.com. Or you can record it yourself with no music and effects and send that to lex@anythingghost.com. And your last choice would be to get rid of the ghost and call 555-2368.
We're ready to believe you.
And I hope 2021 is being kind to you so far. So we'll move into 2021 with the next episode of Anything Ghost, number 277, as I said. Send your story to lex@anythingghost.com. Be sure to check out the VIP group if you want 15 years of Anything Ghost. And I'll be working on show number 277. Until I talk to you in the next episode,
Stay safe, have yourself a great week, and take care.